For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close Up, part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. Really stoked to have you all tune back in this week. Just want to apologize first. Sorry that this is the first episode of The Close Up in a couple weeks. Life has been a little bit hectic with some personal travel and then just some other situational things that has allowed me to not put out a podcast for about 2 weeks. So I just want to apologize to all the listeners. We're back on schedule, going to keep this thing cranking through as normal and possibly some bonus episodes through the remainder of the season. So I'm really psyched to be doing this for you all. Today's episode is going to be really fun. We have Brandon Kravitz of In the Zone, 96.9, Orlando Magic pregame radio host. He does Zone Heads podcast. He covers the NBA, NFL, MLB, MLS. He does all Orlando sports, UCF. He's awesome. He's been in the game for a while. We have a really fun conversation. We talk about kind of like his career path in sports journalism, some misconceptions maybe that fans have versus what the reality is in certain aspects of sports. We talk about this team, the Magic roster, and the culture of this Magic team, and get a little bit into some expectations of what we expect for this Magic roster the remainder 7-8 games left. Eight games as of today. This is being recorded on April 1st. The Magic are playing the Portland Trailblazers tonight, but there might be seven games by the time you're actually listening to this. And then we talk about some playoff expectations. Brandon's a great guy. Really fun conversation with him. Before we get into that, couple of little housekeeping notes. Please like and subscribe to this and all of Orlando Magic HQ content. Really helps us out. Make sure to go over to check out our Instagram subscriber program. $5 a month gets you some premium benefits. You can check those out on our pinned post. And then finally, our sponsors. This week's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for the season with the best bracket contest out there. And odds, lines, and informations on every game and every round right until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head over to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. BetOnline, the game starts here. We have one more exciting new sponsor. They've been with us for a few weeks, and it's a really fun new sponsor. It's another betting sponsor, too. It's actually cut, but it's a little bit different than what BetOnline is. This is a peer-to-peer social betting platform. I love betting with my friends. I love betting on games, and just in general. And now I can do that on just about anything. When it comes to games, just personal peer-to-peer bets. Like if I'm playing basketball with some friends, who's going to win the game? We can make wagering on that. We can do that all through Cut. Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40 plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo, which is just a really easy, simple aspect of betting. Use our promo code BLEAV Magic. That's B-L-E-A-V Magic for your welcome 10% bonus when you sign up. I just signed up myself, been using it for a little bit. I got some bets placed with Al. Right now we have one that if the Magic hit 50 wins, he's got to one, send over some cheddar cash my way, but also then shave a mustache. And we did all that through Cut. So make sure you jump on there and do Believe Magic as your promo code. It's really easy to plug that in at the very start. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. And then obviously we got the Brandon Kravitz in the zone with us, man. It's this awesome one. Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit of Magic basketball. The Magic right now are the fifth seed. They have 43 wins and 31 losses. Really big couple of days right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers and New York Knicks are just above the Magic by a couple of games. The Cavs have 45 wins. The Knicks have 44 wins. So we are in the mix, still fighting for that potential home court advantage. Could be in the fourth seed, which would be awesome. You know, versing the Knicks or the Cavs right now in the playoffs is the most likely first round scenario. The question is, who's going to have home court? Is it going to be the Orlando Magic, or is it going to be the Knicks, or is it going to be the Cavs, depending on how this plays out? That's kind of what's going on. We do have the Pacers creeping up, 42 and 43 wins for them. I'm not too concerned about them, but it is possible if the Magic just drop the bag and do not do well, that they could drop a little bit. But I'm hopeful that, you know, the last win, you know, versus Memphis, the 118-88 win really put some momentum back in this Magic team's energy, that they're going to continue to find their way, that they're going to get a W tonight versus Portland. But the Magic don't have the easiest schedule. Like, their schedule coming up is a little bit tough. So after the Portland game, they fly to New Orleans and then they play the Pelicans, which that team's good. They're in the mix in the West. That's going to be a hard game for us. The Pelicans are going to be coming after us, because the Magic just played them a few weeks ago and beat them in a very good game. We want the Magic to show up and beat them again in New Orleans, so that'll be a good one. Then they fly to Charlotte, and coach Steve Clifford. That team, I'm not too worried about that. That should be a W. LaMelo Ball's out for the season. They still have some, you know, good performers on that team, but they're not in the same category or even the same atmosphere as the Magic right now. So that should be a Magic win too. Then they come home to Kia Center versus Chicago, get to see your old friend Nikki Vooch, and get him in the house for the last time for the season. And then the Magic go on a 3-game road trip versus Houston. That's not an easy game anymore. They have one of the longest winning streaks in the NBA right now. They are a very hot team, potentially going to make the play-in. That's not going to be an easy win for the Magic. Every win counts for them right now, just like it does for the Magic. So that's going to be a tough matchup on April 9th. Then they have a back-to-back after Houston. They go to Milwaukee and play the Bucks. Giannis, Middleton, Dame. That's going to be a tough one. Then they fly to Philadelphia, where it's rumored that Joel Embiid could be back this week. So they could be facing a Joel Embiid Philadelphia team, which is in the mix. They are a team right now in the mix. They are currently eighth. They're in the play-in race, but they're going to want to try and make up some ground and either stay on the top half of the play-in or see if they can even get a couple extra wins and get, you know, avoid the play-in altogether with Joel Embiid coming back. And then they finish the regular season back at home on April 14th versus the Milwaukee Bucks again. So two home games remaining after the Portland game in the remaining eight games. That's not a lot of home games. A lot of road games. So, all that being said, really looking forward to seeing if this Magic team can tighten things up. They can control these late game execution problems that they've been having recently. We'd love to see them kind of reduce some of those mistakes that they had during the Sacramento, Golden State, and Los Angeles Clippers run and get back to playing really controlled defense at the end, controlling the ball at the end, not having turnovers. And just being able to, when their first option offensively gets cut off, be able to pivot to the second option to still be able to score buckets and not just draw back and revert into isolation. A lot of times what's happening with this Magic team offensively right now is that they are, you know, they have their first offensive set that they are trying to get into, but that will immediately get, you know, cut off in a way from the defense of the opposing team, which then, you know, most teams will go into a second or third type of set where oftentimes the Magic are just dropping to an isolation play. And that's not ideally what this team wants, something that should get better over time. I'm not sure we'll see a whole lot of change of that this season, but we'll see. This Magic team is young. It's only an excuse until it's not. For me, this is the last year that it can be an excuse because they're going to have playoff experience. And that's you get to hold them to a higher standard at this point. There's 8 games left. I would love for them to squeak out a few extra wins during this run. If they could go 6-2, that would be fantastic. 5-3 would be cool too. I would hate for them to do anything less than 4-4. So that's kind of it. Let's get to this conversation with Brandon Kravitz. I really just want to give him a shout out. Appreciate him joining the show. Make sure you tune into his conversations that he has weekly, daily on 96.9 The Game and his podcast In the Zone and the Zoneheads. Appreciate y'all. Let's go Magic. All right, everyone, like I said, we got Brandon Kravitz of 96.9, host of just about everything, host of Orlando Magic pregame radio. You have the In the Zone Monday through Friday, and you have Zoneheads podcast. Brandon Kravitz, the man of many hats, welcome to the close-up. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been listening to you for a little while now, and love the work that Magic HQ does. This is fun to be here.
Appreciate it, man. And likewise, I've heard your voice many, many times over the years. So it's great to finally connect, virtually in person, and just talk a little bit of Magic basketball. But before we get to that, Brandon, I want to learn a little bit more about you, how you got here. You are a voice that many people hear and see over the Orlando sports community, covering not just the Magic, but, you know, UCF, the MLS soccer teams, just like, you know, everything that is sports related to Orlando. Let's dial that back a little bit. And like, how did you even get into sports journalism in the first place?
Yeah, my journey is sort of a unique one. When I moved to Orlando from down in Fort Lauderdale, I'm from Coral Springs. That's where I spent most of my year. Born in Baltimore. If I want to really go back now, I'm really going back. I'll give you the hospital I was born into. We went the whole ride.
Sure. Why not? I'll give you social security number and credit card numbers too. It'd be great.
I always feel like I have to tell that part of the, story. Born in Baltimore, family moved down to Coral Springs when I was 7. And then when I graduated from high school, came up to Orlando to go to Valencia and then UCF, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. So I just started taking classes in anything and everything, and I fell in love with psychology. And then when I heard my psychology professor, I think spent one day or like half a class on sports psychology, I was like, light bulb, this is my path. This is what I want to do. I want to be a sports psychologist. So I continued on. I got my degree in psychology, and it wasn't until I got close to finalizing my bachelor's degree, I realized that I'm about done with school. So as much as I would love to pursue this, you got to have a master's or a doctorate if you really want to break bread in the psychology world. So just wasn't for me. And I was close enough to graduation where I just followed through with it and finished. And then right afterwards, immediately had that crisis moment, that mental crisis moment that I think every adult has gone through at some point, where you go, what the hell am I going to do with my life? My friend convinced me to try out this broadcasting school, and I fell in love all over again. Finished that up and then got an internship with Mike Bianchi on the morning show that still exists to this day, Open Mic. And I've just been growing within iHeart Orlando ever since, to the point now where I have my own afternoon show In the Zone, and I also work with the Orlando Magic. That started in about 2018. So My path is, I don't know that anybody else has charted the same sort of path. Everybody's got their own. But my started humble beginnings in psychology courses at UCF somehow got me here.
I'm sure that like has helped you a little bit with being comfortable interviewing and talking to so many different people, trying to like, you know, through your schooling of psychology, learning a little bit more on how the human brain works and how individuals think. I imagine that's helped you quite a bit. Did you go to Full Sail? Is that the broadcast school you went to in Orlando?
No, it was actually, unfortunately, this one doesn't exist anymore. Full Sail is great, but Full Sail is incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which was probably an eighth of the cost of what Full Sail charges you. Now, Full Sail is going to probably be a better program overall. You get what you pay for.
Sure.
But when I went to, and I wasn't sure, I mean, obviously, they're not in business in Orlando anymore, so something wasn't going right over there. But they promised you when you entered that they would set you up with an internship, or at least the opportunity at getting an internship. And I thought, okay, well, that's all I need. I just want to get my foot in the door and see if I can make it work from there. And they followed through on that. When I finished the program, you know, a lot of it's timing. And that's what I would tell anybody that wants to get into sports talk or anything really that you want to do in your life is you got to work hard. You got to not give up and all of that, all of those cliches, but you got to have timing on your side too. The moment I finished that program at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which was like connected to the Millennium Mall, to give you an idea of the aesthetic we're going for.
Sure,
here.
Sure.
The moment that I finished, they were launching open mic on 96.9 The Game. And so it was just this seamless transition timing wise. They were looking for two interns. They hired me and this other girl who lasted 2 weeks and then quit. And so I was like, don't bring on anybody else. I got this. And, you know, just kind of dug in and tried to make a name for myself within the building.
That's awesome. I mean, it's clearly worked because now you're the man, in my opinion, in Orlando radio. And, you know, just where so many people go to get their information and hear their opinion, you know, hear opinions about, you know, the magic and all of Orlando sports. Getting a little bit further into, you know, now you've been doing this for quite a long time. You said, you know, about full time since 2018.
So to be clear, I meant to bring that up for the timeline of all of this.
Sure.
I graduated college in 2010. Uh-huh. So I started in radio at the end of that year. So it was probably like right after Thanksgiving of 2000.
Okay.
I went straight from college to the broadcasting school. And so I've been with the station since 2010, the magic part of the equation, which is really for me, launched myself into a different stratosphere as far as Orlando sports talk goes. That didn't come around until 2018.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you've been in this game for a long time now, as you just clearly laid out. Question for you: what do you think is like one of the bigger misconceptions that people have as fans that are not a little bit more behind the scenes, seeing a little bit more of a peek through the curtain that you have more access to with, you know, the radio aspect, you know, being connected to the team, you know, being connected to not just the Magic team, but sports in general, where you're going to different events. Sometimes you're going to media days and things like that. What do you think is one of the bigger misconceptions that a fan has that you might see something differently in?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think it's probably just that you view these people, these larger than life figures, as if they're so different than you and I, and that's just not true. You know, when you talk about day-to-day life with some of these players, when you get the opportunity to, and media day is the best opportunity to do it because everybody's kind of laid back and it's that back to school vibe and you get to kick back and relax and you're not talking about how was the game last night or that post-game press conference that can be so sort of rigid and sometimes tense depending on how the game went, and players were a little bit guarded. But yeah, I mean, they're going to the same restaurants that we're going to. They're still trying to find ways to fill their time, especially in the off season when they've got a whole lot more of it than during the year. They sit back, they watch the same shows that we watch and all of that stuff. And a lot of them, I can only speak to what the Magic bring in personnel wise, as far as the people that work there and the people that play there. And this has sometimes been to their detriment. So it's a compliment, but not 100%. They bring in some really good people. The Magic they go out of their way. Employees behind the scenes, players, they want good human beings. And you get that sense when you're around them. There are very few people that I've come into contact with, and I'm not just saying this because I work with the team. There are very few people I've come into contact with that are a Magic employee to any degree, PR guy, point guard, whatever, that I go, man, I do not trust that guy as far as I can throw him. They do a really good job. They're very big on that. That's why I think right now it's worked. You would look at this Magic team from the outside, and maybe this isn't the opposite of a misconception because it's accurate. You go, man, they got a bunch of nice guys. They all love each other. That's true. It really is. There's genuine love there, and it's because they're good people. Good people hang around good people that are lighthearted and fun. They tend to have a good time together, and you're seeing a lot of that come to fruition. I think for years, this franchise has been sort of like soft and walked all over, and part of that is that mentality. There is not a lot of mean within the Magic organization, but right now you're seeing the positive end of that spectrum.
Yeah, it's really, you know, you said a lot there, and I do agree with a lot of it, where, you know, they tend to hire high character people. I mean, they preach that, you know, with their drafting and how they talk about their draft and their free agents. They really talk about the character of people. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of interviewing and having conversations with multiple people and even doing media sessions, Amway at the time, now Kia Center. And you just see it from the top down, like you mentioned, the type of people that you interact with on a daily basis. It's full of professionals, full of people that want to give you their time if they haven't, and if not, you know, they're very professional about not being able to do that and whatnot. And there's just a vibe there that makes sense. But you're right. Sometimes it's like, man, we need a little bit more aggression on that court. Yeah. And I don't know if that's because of the type of people that they're going after as far as players. I do think right now we do have a balance of that where it's like, you know, we have Joe Ingles, we have Jalen Suggs, we have Mo Wagner, who bring a little bit more of that on-court grit and energy and aggression, and will even chirp back. I mean, even we've seen Anthony Black chirp back at some people and you know, the cheesy saying, have that dog in them, right?
Yeah. You want to be nice with an edge. I think that's kind of what they're going after now, where in the past it's just been a bunch of nice guys on the court. That's not going to get you anywhere in the NBA. They need to find that balance. I knew when they traded for Patrick Beverley a year ago, he was part of that deal.
Mobamba.
He was never gonna see the court. That is the opposite. Yep. Of what they go after. There's no way. They're very careful with who they bring in, and they don't want anybody that's going to embarrass the organization to that sort of degree where you're just like a questionable character. You know, I'm not saying everybody's perfect. What I'm saying is that everybody is pretty nice and easy to get along with. That's what they're going after. Like a guy like Jonathan Isaac is controversial because of some of his beliefs and things like that. They allow people to be different. But what they don't allow is for you to mess up team chemistry or chemistry within the organization, whether you sell tickets or you're dunking the ball on weekdays.
I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. They don't want assholes, right? You know, they want nice people. That's just kind of how it is. And I think that's a good thing for the most part. You know, the Magic are one of the few teams where like you don't hear too much off-court drama, which is a really nice thing to have as a fan base. Speaking of, you know, eras and stuff like that, the Magic right now have 43 wins and 31 losses. They are the fifth seed in the East. They play the Portland Trailblazers tonight. We're recording this on April 1st. This is about 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern is when Brandon and I are having this conversation. Brandon, the last time the Magic had a record of over 42 wins, over 500, was in 2011. We've learned a little bit about your path since then, but what do you think is, outside of maybe radio, in your career, what is one of the biggest life changes for you since 2011 to 2024 that we are in right now? I'll go first so you can narrow one in. All right.
I've got a few. They're pretty monumental, but
let's go.
All right. Since 2011, what have I done? I found a career, so we'll start there. I found my wife, who I'm married to now for 7 years. I've had a son who is now 4 years old.
Excellent.
And bought a house.
Nice.
Definitely didn't have one of those in 2011. I started a 401k. Definitely didn't have one of those in 2011.
Check mark.
And I've been on the Magic HQ podcast. I think that pretty much covers it. That's
everything. Hey, dude, that last one's a big one. I love it. Man, mine's very similar. 2011, I was like pretty fresh, still out of the military. I was living back home with my parents, doing catering, not knowing what I wanted to do with my life. And yeah, I was in Florida at the time. Now I'm in California with a 2-year-old, married, with a 401k. And nice. Been a guest on 96.9. So, I mean, full circle.
Similar paths, really.
Yeah.
And I was working in the food service industry in 2011 as well. Longtime bartender and server before I made just enough money to just do this for a living. So I get the life. I was living it. And God, I remember not as much vividly with the team that the last one that won 43 plus, which had Vince Carter on it. That was when they tried to say, okay, let's take this another level. And then that didn't really work out. And then Dwight won it out. But the year prior, when they made it to the NBA finals, I was working at, what's called, I think it was this one at the time, Ice Bar, which is on International Drive in Orlando. It's got the ice sculptures in it. I was working the bar, and people were crowding around watching NBA Finals games. And I remember that's what made me fall in love with the Orlando Magic. And I know that people listening to this are going, oh my God, what a front runner. What made me fall in love with it wasn't that they were winning. It was the community feel. That was the first time since I remember I wasn't in Orlando when Shaq and Penny were here. I knew how cool they were. I followed them, but I wasn't here. What I didn't experience until 2009 was the level of community that is created around a really good, successful pro sports franchise that people love and care about. And in 2009, I got a taste of that, and I have been dying to feel that way ever since. And right now is the first time I've felt that way since 2009, where you walk around, you don't know the person you're bumping into, but if you both have Magic gear on, you're celebrating together. I see people at Magic games now that, like the woman that, I'll just give you the most recent example, the woman who cuts my son's hair, okay, my 4-year-old son's barber ran into me at a Magic game, all elated at how the team is doing. And I'm like, this is what I'm after. This sort of community feel where I just saw you 2 Saturdays ago, and now we're cheering on the Magic together in the building. That's beautiful. That's why we care about sports. And 2009 was the last time I felt it.
You know, the Magic are on their way to hopefully continuing to like bring it back to that point. And I'd say like this year more than any year has been even different than the Vooch years when, you know, they made the playoffs and you know, with 2019 and had that, you know, nice moment during the Raptors series and whatnot. You know, I would say there was good energy around the team then, but I feel like, you know, we knew as fans that team had a ceiling where, because those guys were in their late 20s at that point in time, where it's like the Magic are doing this with 20, 21, 22 year olds as their main players on this roster. And it's like, you can tell this has room to really go and get running and just explode whatever happens to this season. Right. Like,
yeah.
The Magic are going to the playoffs this season, Brandon. We know that. We're psyched about that. The likelihood is they're probably going to miss the play-in and just solidify their spot in the top six somewhere, hopefully, potentially even a home court advantage. What are the last few things you hope to find out in these last eight games before they hit the postseason?
I mean, I would love to see them play better against competition that's above 500, but one thing that I remind myself, and I would remind anybody that's a Magic fan who just wants to jump off a cliff because of how this team's performed against teams that are above 500. You want to see the team play better in these situations. And I think if you want to be more specific, late game closeout situations where you're in the game, especially when you're at home and you should have that momentum on your side, not crushing it with ill-timed shots or overpassing, which we've seen this team do like crazy. Only the Celtics and the Bucks, if you're looking at Eastern Conference teams, have an above 500 record against above 500 teams. What the Magic are doing is what good teams do. But it's not what great teams do. That's not where the Magic are. The Magic are a good NBA basketball team. And what good basketball teams do is they beat teams they're supposed to beat, and then they mostly lose to teams they're supposed to lose to. That's the NBA season. That's the trick to the formula. And until you become the Boston Celtics, who have been knocking on the door for the last 5 years, or the Milwaukee Bucks, who have one of the top three players on planet Earth, you don't sport records like that against above 500 teams in the regular season. But it's almost playoff time, and you've got to find a way to play better against that competition, especially when you're in games late. So I want to see them with a better late game execution. And I want to see Paolo shoot the three better. I feel like it's there. I don't think his shot is broken. Notice that whenever Paolo misses, it clanks front rim. That means his accuracy is on point. There's just something with the way he's releasing the basketball or the force that he's using with his legs. Look, he knows the answer to this better than I do, but he's got to find a way to figure that out. And hopefully he's able to tinker with that enough. Just needs to up those percentages a little bit, and they'll be a different basketball team.
I'm going to throw Franz in that three-point percentage conversation, too. He's been missing quite a bit, too, and I would love to see him get that sorted out, too. All right, Brandon, one last question, then I'm going to let you go. Postseason, right? We're past these eight games. We're in the postseason. What would you consider a success and not be emotionally disappointed for this Magic team in the postseason?
Whoever they play, the series has to go to, unless it's Boston or Milwaukee, and honestly, just Boston. Forget about Milwaukee. I don't trust them. The series has to go to 6 or 7. Otherwise, I'll be massively disappointed, because that means that they got dominated in the playoffs. And I think back to how Cavs fans would have felt last season, where they went in with all this excitement and anticipation, and then the Knicks just owned them. If that's what happens, we're really going to rethink everything we just saw in the regular season. So that would be disappointment. If they push a series to 6, definitely 7, then you're more in, like, think about how Sacramento felt last year. Great regular season. They're lighting the beam left and right. Vibes are crazy. Well, you ran into a buzzsaw in the Golden State Warriors, and you played an exciting series. Success to me is making it out of the first round. And I do think that's well within the realm of possibility. That's not just putting, black and blue colored glasses on this situation. They play the Knicks. They play the Cavs, the Pacers. There's no reason why they can't win that series. Beyond that, surprise me. I don't expect anything else. But disappointment, less than 6 games in the first round. And I would call success winning the first round series.
I love that. Great response. Way to hold them to a high standard there. I love that. I want this team to get out of the first round too, and that would make me so happy and make my trip to Orlando in a handful of weeks even better.
No reason they can't do it. There's no reason this team can't make it out of the first round, and we should have that expectation at this point. The expectations have shifted based on the way this team has played.
And we should be able to change our expectations. I love that. It's been such a fun, exciting basketball season. It's been great having you on the show and connecting with you throughout this season. Listeners, make sure to check out Brandon Kravitz in the Zone Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. On 96.9. Make sure to tune into Brandon Kravitz before the game on pregame radio, and also check out his podcast Zone Heads, Orlando Magic podcast, covering all Orlando Magic or all Orlando sports, not just the Magic. It's phenomenal. Great little bite-sized episodes. Brandon, I really appreciate it. If there's anything else you'd like to say, you're welcome to. If not, we'll catch you next time.
Well, I'll save it, because definitely want to hop on the pod again, and we've got a lot more juice, a lot more where this came from, and hopefully a lot more basketball to talk about over the next month or so.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're going to get it. All right, Magic fans, that's another episode of The Close Up. Brandon, thank you. Magic fans, let's go. Let's go. We're almost there. All right. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.